Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
I'm picturing it, just picture it. Warm sand under your feet, transparent seas lapping at your ankles, maybe a beachside cabana under the green leaves of a palm tree, some kind of frozen pina colada in hand, or if you're our executive producer, Hitesh, a mango drink, as he reminded me earlier today. It all sounds so good. It is spring break season, and after a year of socially distant pandemic, travel is on the minds of a lot of folks. The numbers bear it out. The Boston Herald reports the Cape vacation rentals are hard to come by for the summer. And this past weekend, more than 100,000 people flew through the region's airports, the highest number of travelers yet this year. But we have to keep in mind, as more people get vaccinated daily, we've still seen cases plateau and then climb for the last 12 days now in a row in this pandemic, with a test positivity rate above 2%. For the last week. So much tension there. With all that in mind, how should we be thinking about traveling? What does safe travel look like? Where can you go? How do you do it safely? What questions do you have about taking to the roads, the rails, the air this spring and summer? We're ready. 800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Let's take your questions. So we have two guides, a medical guide and a travel guide, to have this conversation with us. Our medical guide is Dr. Natasha Hochberg, Associate Professor in the Department of Medicine at Boston University School of Medicine and in the Department of Epidemiology at the Boston University School of Public Health. She is also the Program Director for the Infectious Disease Fellowship Program, and here's the important one also, co-director of the Travel Clinic and an infectious disease physician at Boston Medical Center. Lots of expertise there. Also joining us is Christopher Muther, who is the travel writer and the columnist for the Boston Globe. I want to welcome you both. Dr. Hochberg, welcome.
Thanks so much for having me.
Christopher, welcome.
Thanks so much. Pleasure to be here.
So excited to learn from both of you. Excited to take listener calls on this. Christopher, I'm going to start with you. We are seeing more air travel across the nation. We just heard some numbers for here in New England. Are more people traveling now? How many more? And where are they going?
Well, first I have to say, I'm still picturing myself with a tropical drink after your introduction.
Yeah. So
right? Having a hard time focusing right now on the question.
I hear you.
But yes, people are traveling far more than they were. I mean, obviously last year at this time and all through the spring and summer of last year, the TSA is now screening pretty regularly more than a million travelers a day, which, you know, a few months ago would be unheard of. And as you mentioned, it is spring break. And so you have people who are going to Florida, and families going there, and then you have people who are just frustrated. I feel like we all are, and are hopping on a plane and going to see family members. They're going to amusement parks, which is, you know, is surprising to me. But yeah, it's people are taking to the road. There's most of the travel has been domestic, and Dr. Hochberg may have thoughts on this as well, but most of it has been domestic and to the Caribbean, which are kind of the easiest places that U.S. citizens can travel to right now.
So listeners, are you making travel plans? Like, are you booking something right now? Are you thinking about it? Is it for spring or summer? Are you waiting until you're vaccinated? Do you have questions about that? Where are you going and what steps are you taking that you normally wouldn't take to be safe? 800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Now, Dr. Hochberg, I'm going to turn to you. I am mindful that when we have this kind of conversation, it's tricky because we want to deal with the reality of where people are. We also want to deal with our public health realities. We are in stage four of the state's reopening. The state's travel form and lower risk state's map is no longer in effect. Is it safe to start traveling?
So that's a great question. And I have to tell you that in the land of public health, I have a boss. And nationally, that's, you know, Rochelle Walensky at the CDC. And so I think when we think about telling people and giving them advice, I want people to first turn to the CDC. And I want you to take a look at what the CDC guidelines are and what Dr. Walensky is saying. And she has clearly laid out that now is unfortunately not the time to travel. And believe me, I too want to get out of here. I think we're all going stir crazy. I have, you know, kids at home. We all want to get to the beach. But Dr. Walensky has made it very clear that cases are high. Now is not the time to travel. It increases your chances of spreading and getting COVID. And that, you know, hopefully we get more information as things go along. But right now, the recommendation is really, unfortunately, not to travel. I know that's not what you wanted to hear, but that's
no, that's all right. I mean, this is why we have you both on, right? We want to look at what people are doing and what the guidance is on what we should be doing. So we do have some calls starting to come in, but Dr. Hochberg, I'm going to stay with you for a second longer. Does that include don't get in your, you're vaccinated, you can't get in your car and drive, let's say, 2 hours to over the New Hampshire line to see your grandkids?
So that's two separate questions. And the first question is vaccines and what is the impact of getting vaccinated and how should that change your decision making? And the second is sort of how safe is it to drive and to drive locally? So I'll take the driving first. I think that has much lower risk if you are traveling in a car with people who are within your sort of pod or your family. And if you are traveling to see people that you're going to see outside and or socially distanced from. So I think, or you're wearing a mask and you're staying far away from. I think if you want to be inside with somebody without wearing a mask, that's where the vaccines are particularly important, especially when you're thinking about vulnerable patients and vulnerable people. So if you're potentially going to see somebody who has an underlying comorbidity or they're of older age and potentially at risk for getting really sick with this, you don't want to be potentially exposing that person. And so that's somebody you want to see outside at a distance. But then your second question came to vaccines, and I think that's a great point. So we have to recognize that, you know, fewer than 10% or so of the population is vaccinated at this point. So it's not a large proportion of people, but what does it mean? Well, the reason that the CDC and the NIH are still saying that even if you're vaccinated, they don't want you to travel is because even though we know it prevents severe disease, there's still that potential for you to become infected and transmit it to somebody else. So even though you're protected, you might still transmit it to somebody else. I'll say that there's a lot more data that are coming out about that in terms of, you know, how effective the vaccines are for preventing you from transmitting it to somebody else. But at this point, the CDC still feels like the data are insufficient to tell you that you can safely travel and not transmit it to somebody else.
Thanks for that. So I'm going to go to the phones. I think we've got a call that you'll be able to help with, Christopher. 800-423-8255 is the number to call with your travel-related question. We've got Mike on the line in Hopkinton. Mike, go ahead.
Hi, guys. I drive a limousine part-time, and I wonder when all the commercial travelers are going to start coming back. We are seeing more travel, but it's all private travel. Every single person is going to visit their grandmother, and no companies are going to visit their customers. Is that ever going to change, or what's going to happen?
Thanks for that question, Mike. Christopher, so Mike's question about business travel, you know, the bread and butter of the travel industry, at least a part of it, what do we think?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a while, if ever, that we go back to business travel as we knew it, as I like to say, in the before times. We've all become so accustomed to being on Zoom and FaceTime and even the phone and talking to our colleagues around the world in that manner. It's no longer a novelty as it was before. And companies now realize that, you know, look at the bottom line, how much money they're saving. Obviously, not all companies are going to take that approach because in some industries, there's still the feeling that face-to-face meetings are the way to go. But, you know, for instance, I think about the Boston Globe, and we're still not going into our office, let alone traveling anywhere. And that's going to be likely through the fall. So I think, you know, maybe maybe next year, maybe the following year, but I don't see business travel resuming anywhere to 2019 levels anywhere in the near future.
Let's go back to the phones here, 800-423-8255 here on Radio Boston, where we are talking about travel. And we have both a travel expert and a medical expert available for your questions. Robin's on the line in Fort Point. Robin, go ahead.
Hi, I'm going to be traveling to the Cape this summer, like I do every year, actually, and did last year during the pandemic. I'm expecting to still have the same level of COVID protocols in place, regardless of how many people are vaccinated. And I guess, and I didn't know I was supposed to be asking the question, but if I see people, I haven't eaten out since I was in the Cape last summer, so I'm highly looking forward to a meal outside. But I think it's crazy to be going into restaurants, so I'm sure you're going to back me up on that.
So let's actually turn to both of our guests. Robin, thanks for your call. Dr. Hochberg, so I mean, it's interesting as we've started to look forward, we haven't always picked up on the conversation threads that have been here for a while, but restaurants are one of them. Where are we on the safety of restaurant dining right now?
So first of all, I'm so excited for you that you get to go to the Cape, because it does sound like all the houses are filling up. So that sounds like it's going to be a wonderful summer break. I think it's a really tough question, right? We're all getting sick of, sort of cooking for ourselves and not being able to go out to restaurants. I think that the safest thing you can do is to eat outside and to eat sort of distanced from other people. There's still definitely a risk of sort of taking off your mask inside with a group of strangers and potentially becoming infected indoors. So I think your safest bet is to eat outside and to eat distance. If you have to eat inside, hopefully you're vaccinated by that point and your risk is lower.
So I'm going to put out a throw to listeners, and then I'm going to come to you, Christopher. But listeners, as I'm listening to all this, I'm still back on the beach from the beginning of this conversation on my head, and I'm not going there anytime soon. So where, listeners, are you wishing you were going? Where are you longing to travel? We'll be wistful with you. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. So, Christopher, I am struck by the fact that tourism on the Cape for the summer looks like it's going to be happening. Are you surprised by that? What are the lessons that we take from that? Talk about that a little bit.
I am actually not surprised at all. The Cape last summer, last minute bookings were kind of through the roof at that point. And anecdotally, I've heard this from many people. The agency where my parents book the house that they stay at in Maine, they told my dad that they've never seen anything like it. What's coming up this summer. And, as you've said, we all want to get out. We all want to be doing things. I think the summer in New England, I traveled a bit last summer, and speaking to indoor dining, during the summer, we have an opportunity for outdoor dining, which makes the appeal of going out and traveling so much better for those of us who aren't eating inside yet. And also the idea of doing things outside, at the beach, if it's a beautiful day, going hiking, going biking, all of these things were really embraced last summer and in addition to RV rentals, which were also through the roof. So I'm not surprised to hear that. And, I'm actually also kind of glad that people are thinking of staying locally, at least those who are reserving, because as Dr. Hochberg said, I feel like wide range traveling is more of an opportunity to spread variants, to generally just spread COVID to different areas, as much as we all really want to travel to other parts of the country and other parts of the world.
So I think we've got a caller question that's related to that. 800-423-8255. We've got Brandon on the line. Brandon, are you in your car?
I am totally in my car right now.
What's your question, Brandon?
Sure. So kind of unique situation, I guess. Kind of hopeful thinking. Me and my wife, 5-year anniversary coming up. We both survived COVID. Our 3 children survived COVID. We're all doing well. grandparents are in our bubble. If they want to be so nice and allow us to go away for a weekend to celebrate our wedding anniversary, say, you know, beginning of June, is that a good time or just a bad idea in general?
And let me just ask you, Brandon, is, if you don't mind sharing, is anybody vaccinated, the grandparents, for example?
Yes, they've both received their first. They'll be fully vaccinated, you know, by beginning of June when we want to go away.
Thanks, Brandon. And by the way, happy anniversary, and I'm glad everyone survived. I'm going to turn over to Dr. Hochberg here to pick this one up.
Sure.
Thanks.
First of all, yeah, congratulations on the anniversary, and I'm so sorry that you were all sick, and I'm glad that everybody is doing okay. So some of this, not to pry into your medical history, but some of this depends a little bit on when you were infected and understanding the durability of the immune response and sort of how long we know you'd be protected for. And so, you know, it depends a little bit on that. And so I think it's something to sort of, you know, without getting into the details with you here, but it's something to sort of talk to your doctor about in terms of when, in fact, you were infected, how early on in the pandemic, and then whether or not you've been vaccinated after having had COVID, because all of that will play a role. But I think it's great that the grandparents are vaccinated. And in general, I think we've seen the CDC recommendations that once those individuals are vaccinated, they can be in the house, you know, with other vaccinated individuals or unvaccinated that are at low risk.
So I want to ask the two of you a question kind of in follow-up to this. So we're hearing from Christopher. Everything is booking up. We're hearing from you, Dr. Hochberg. Yes, but don't go any of those places, please, because your boss at the CDC says it's not time to do that yet. There is a lag in planning travel. So from a medical standpoint first, Dr. Hochberg, and then Christopher from a strategy standpoint second, how far out could people be planning travel now? Is it reasonable to be planning something for August from a public health standpoint, Dr. Hochberg, or are you talking, God forbid, 2022?
I think that we're going to see more guidance actually pretty soon from the CDC. They've been sort of hinting that they'll come out with travel guidance, particularly for people that are vaccinated, because there is some level of assurance that, you know, you are protected from severe disease. And so I think more and more vaccinated people are going to feel safer about traveling. And I think that CDC is going to come around to sort of provide that guidance. And I'm hoping it comes out pretty soon. I can't tell you when exactly that will happen. And so, you know, I think making travel plans for the summer may be reasonable. And let's hope that CDC can support that shortly.
All right. From a strategy standpoint, Christopher, it sounds like one can't wait. Like everything's going to fill up. So are we in a real rock and a hard place now for those who are really trying to follow the public health guidelines? Or can you do some planning for late summer at this stage?
It's such an interesting question, because it to me, it feels like it's a constant moving target. You mentioned at the beginning of the segment how numbers had been going down, plateauing, and now going up again. And, you know, back when vaccinations were really starting to pick up in number and we had plateaued and felt like we were going to be going down, I thought, you know, this is it. I can start looking, you know, seriously at summer travel. And now that doesn't necessarily seem to be the case. And Europe seems like it's off the table and will be for a while. So that's the tricky part. And some of it involves, I feel like, what your aversion to risk is. You know, it's a very personal decision how people treat this. You know, there is the CDC guidelines, and there are a lot of people who follow that, and there are a lot of people who don't follow that. And so one of the things that we've been seeing is, yes, places have been booking up ahead of time before summer, but there's also been an extreme amount of last minute travel decisions. If you look at studies over the past few months, you know, normally people plan out travel far in advance. Lately, they're not doing that. They're just kind of jumping on. And I think we'll see a fair amount of that. And so again, the idea of will we be able to travel this summer, I wish there were an easy answer. a straightforward yes, not a problem at all, or absolutely not, don't think about it. But it just comes down to so many pieces of the puzzle. Yeah. And for me, I'm waiting for a majority of the pieces to fit, and then I'll really seriously start thinking about it. Also, when I'm vaccinated, I can also start thinking about it a little more. But again, it's a very highly personal decision.
Yeah, I just wanted to echo that. It's funny because if you talk to my colleagues, you'll get some people are absolutely planning their travel and some people are like, nope, if anything, I'll drive to the Cape, and others are getting on airplanes because they're vaccinated. And so I think it's really true. It's somewhat of a, you know, a personal decision how one interprets the data and assesses the risk.
So in our last minute or so, Dr. Hochberg, we weren't able to go to any more calls, but we had several people call with a scenario of vaccinated grandparents who want to see grandkids. Can they go do that? So just once more with feeling, you are vaccinated grandparents. Can you go somewhere far to see your grandkids?
So it depends on your assessment of the risk. The vaccines are quite effective at preventing severe disease. They're not perfect, so you still have some risk. And then it depends on who you're traveling to see. So if there's anybody in the household who you're going to see who's potentially at high risk because of some medical condition, then you're potentially placing them at risk by sort of exposing them. That being said, you are relatively protected against severe disease. And so I think there are steps that one can take if you are going to travel to sort of protect yourself. And obviously wearing masks and sort of distancing from other people to the degree possible, you know, good hand hygiene and not touching your face, leaving your mask on when you're on the airplane. So there are steps that you can take to sort of, you know, ensure sort of the best outcomes.
All right. Thank you for that. And at that, we're going to have to end. That was Dr. Natasha Hochberg, Program Director for the Infectious Disease Fellowship Program and a co-director of the Travel Clinic and an infectious disease physician at Boston Medical Center. Christopher Muther, travel writer and columnist for the Boston Globe. Thanks so much to both of you. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.